You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Ross Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast, presented, of course, by DraftKings. Can you believe it is already April, which means it is draft month, which means you have come to the right place. Yes, we encourage you to binge listen or binge watch this podcast. Why not? Get all your prep ready and done leading up to the draft in 3.5 weeks. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years, bunch of media gigs now, got a podcast network, which I really enjoy, especially this show, especially this time of year, because I am blessed to have one of the best draft analysts out there. I have a huge appreciation in life for people that put the time in and have a no BS meter, right? Like, they just tell you what they think. That is my guy, Emery Hunt, at F-Ball Game Plan on Twitter. He started out as really a YouTube star, Football Game Plan on YouTube. Now he's all over CBS Sports HQ, doing an unbelievable job for them. As that thing continues to grow, I need to get on there at some point. And you can get the draft guide. It's coming out this week. footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. We get to a bunch of prospects on this show. I'm glad that we do. Not even like 10% of the guys that Emery has in his draft guide. Like, honestly, not even 10%. We just don't. We do a lot of the top guys and some sleepers, but there's a lot of other guys I'm sure you're curious about. Emery has done the work. So if you're a college football fan and you can't see the draft profile or grade on any guys from your squad, you can at footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. Almost no matter who they are, Emery will have done the work on them. We've got a few more episodes, D-line and linebackers and the secondary. Today is all about the offensive line. I should have mentioned I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on social. We're at Ross Tucker Pod. Love those of you that either rate and review the show or engage with our social media posts in any way, reposts, comments, replies, whatever, or both. Why not both? Emery, let's dive into the O-line rankings, and let's start with the centers. You've got number one, Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin, 2, Charles Turner from LSU, and 3, Brian Hudson from Louisville.
Yeah, listen, Bordellini was someone that just kind of stood out consistently on tape. You know, I watched the Rutgers game, the Iowa game, and the Ohio State game, and consistently graded out rather well for me. Technical skills for the position. He wins with technique. He's consistent in that regard and was consistently doing what you want someone to do from a center position. Direct traffic, recognize stunts and twists quickly. And I know he's going to have some length issues at the pro level, but man, if you're able to anticipate and you're winning with angles, you're winning with anticipation, you're winning with technique, you're going to play a long time. That's why he graded out number one for me. Turner was someone that his athleticism stood out on film, number one, but his athleticism stood out at the Senior Bowl when it was O-line versus D-line in one-on-ones running routes. He's probably one of the best route-running offensive linemen I've ever seen. Like, had a little sauce at the top of his route, dipping his shoulder to break open, challenging at the, above the rim. So I love that athleticism. And when I went to watch his film, you see that on film. So I thought he was one of those type of guys that could stonewall a bull rush, can pick up stunts and twists well. So he did a great job on film. Just, I was glad to see, you know, him having fun out there at the Senior Bowl. And Brian Hudson, a lot of people may not know about. He was at the Hula Bowl. I thought he was fantastic. He's, you know, his hand placement is consistent. He's always where he needs to be, able to play the piano, we call it, to pass guys off rather well, so he doesn't get fooled a lot by stunts and twists. And I just thought from a technical standpoint, And consistency with how well they played offense, Brian Hudson was really good as a center.
Emery, I am surprised, just based on all of the hype, that I don't see Jackson Powers Johnson, JPJ from Oregon. You know, I don't, for clarity's sake, maybe before the draft, I'll check out some of the offensive linemen. I have not done that yet. So I basically just read and listened, obviously, to Emery, but some others as well. And, man, there are a lot of people really high on the young man Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. Not one of your top three centers. Tell me about him.
He's number five. And the cool part about we talk about places that are sight unseen, position specific. Kansas State genuinely can go football player, you know, because they just produce good football players. Utah secondary and defensive linemen, sight unseen. Oregon offensive linemen are sight unseen, you know, because they tend to be really good out there. And what I like about him, good functional strength. He's able to showcase that within his blocks, both strength and power. That's two different things. He has both. He's strong in the run game. So when he has to block down on a combo block, he's getting, like, he's helping move guys from, you know, a one tech to a seven tech. That's how far down he's matching guys down the line. But where he can get a little bit better, his hand placement has to be a little bit consistent. Sometimes they get outside and he gets caught in a weird situation and he loses leverage on the block. So that level of consistency, and again, there's not a big of a difference between 5 and 1, maybe 3 points. So when people see he's not number one, they think, oh my God, I hate him. But I mean, you know, there's the point difference. When you get the guide, you'll see where, you know, the difference is and where certain guys grade based off how they rank.
Got it. All right. Let's get to the guards now. You've got Javion Cohen from Miami, 1. Cooper Beebe from Kansas State, 2. Isaiah Adams from Illinois is 3.
Yeah, here's the thing. There's 1 point separating Cohen and Beebe. Cohen, to me, was just outstanding. Like, he's super impressive from a technique standpoint. I'd be interested to find out if he had a wrestling background, because just how strong of a player he is at the point of attack. So when you have good hand usage, good core strength, and you're able to win consistently like that, you're going to be dominant. You're going to get movement. A lot of the big runs came right behind him. Now, he has to be better at getting out and around on pulls. You know, that's an area where he can get better. But Cooper Beebe, to me, you know, he is another one that does a great job on both ends of offense. Just explosive in his blocks. Doesn't waste movements when he's asked to pull. So that's why he's able to get out and around a little bit cleaner than Cohen. Both guys are phenomenal blockers, and they graded really high. So from my perspective and my grade, if you needed a guard in round one, I would feel comfortable taking these two guys because of how well they are. And Isaiah Adams at number 3, he's versatile. He can play guard or tackle. I see him more as a guard. Some people may see him as a tackle. But when you have that versatility, you can swing to different positions. You're going to be valuable on game day, and we know that because of how many people could dress. His recognition skills is elite in terms of, you know, what people try to do. Maybe that's because he played tackle, or why he can also play tackle because of his eyes. He has the eyes of a tackle and the eyes of a guard, so he's able to quickly diagnose and get himself in position to make plays as a blocker. So that's why he's my number 3.
What about, Emery, a couple of other interior offensive linemen that I've heard a bunch about? One, I've done a bunch of his games. I like the way he plays. And then the other kid's somewhat local. Tell me about Zach Frazier from West Virginia and Christian Haynes from UConn, who I feel like was at UConn forever. And I thought he was their best football player the last few years. Any thoughts on Frazier and Haynes, Emery?
Haynes, start with Haynes. He's got very good contact power, especially when he's able to roll his hips into his blocks, because that you really start to see him get movement, his footwork and ability to get out on the move. I'm big on movement because that expands your playbook. You got to get guys that can move. It's an athletic game, and he's one of those good athletes. And, you know, he's a tenacious down blocker. Like, we talk about guys that could really get a good power step and just escort guys out the way. That's what he does well. And I feel like his hands a little bit all over the place. And if you got long arms offensively, you're able to win right off the bat. I call it the hands first battle. You'll see that a lot in the draft guide. If you can get your hands on someone first, that's like 70% of the job. But if you have long arms and you're able to do that, that's like 95% of the job. And because he doesn't have the longest arms, guys that have long arms and are able to win the hands first battle kind of keep him scrambling for success. And Frazier, as I pull up here, Frazier's a center, right?
Yeah, center from West Virginia.
Very good quickness, bursts off the ball. It allows him to be able to get out and effectively pick up an edge in pass pro. So your center can get out from a snap and go kick out a DN. That's insane. That's very good athleticism. His footwork is up there with this athleticism. Now, he got to get stronger. I feel like that's one area where he has to improve his game. That can help him versus bigger defensive linemen. That's kind of where he gets a little bit overwhelmed. He doesn't have the length to really be afforded the ability to miss on targets. So when you're that quick, you got to get on him and get into his body right away. And that's where he wins a lot of his battles. But the lack of length shows up when he's not able to get out there. And now he has to really try to win from distance. And that's not where he has his success.
Typically, most of my success, Emery, comes from drinking Labatt Blue Light because it's delicious and I enjoy it, whether I'm with friends or family or, heck, by myself watching hoops. Living life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Emery, let's get into these offensive tackle prospects now. And you opened some eyes with me with your list here, including your number one guy, Troy Fatanu from Washington. You know, first of all, it's interesting you have him number one. Secondly, it's interesting you have him at offensive tackle because other people think he's a guy that probably slides inside.
Yeah, that's probably a thought. You know, people want to slide him inside, but man, I have a hard time ignoring you actually doing the job at the job at the Power 5 level consistently against elite athletes. So who am I to say kick his butt down inside as a guard when he's out there performing at a super high level at tackle? So clearly he understands how to play at his size, at his length, at tackle. So until I get proven otherwise or he gets proven otherwise, leave his butt out there on the perimeter, let him do his thing because he's also athletic. However, the length, he can't afford no mistakes because if anytime he gets beat and it's because of length, which we know the NFL defensive ends have that in spades, yeah, we're going to have to talk about that inside at guard conversation. But man, right now, footwork, athleticism, the way he's able to get out on a move, again, expanding your playbook, and you're now able to run weak side behind a guy that's athletic like that. Man, I'm signed up all day for Fatanu at tackle.
You know, it's interesting. The next guy you have here is Joe Alt from Notre Dame. A lot of people think he's top five, top 10 pick, but I have seen some people with some concerns about him. What did you see from Alt?
He is a half a point below Fatanu. So I have a great grade on him. So I'm not knocking. Alt is an elite talent. But where people probably were, well, I saw some areas of improvement for him. It's just getting better from a bull rush perspective. I feel like that's where he tends to have some issues. Guys that are able to just forklift or just explode off the ball right into his chest, that's going to have to get better. But he's a great athlete for a guy that's, you know, enormous. So you combine his athleticism, his size, his ability on the move, you can understand why people are talking about him at five to the Chargers because he is so damn good and has been so good for so long that, you know, we talk about prospect fatigue, but for Alt, there's not as many concerns outside of the, can he handle bull rushes a little bit better as a pro?
He's almost 6'9".
I know.
I mean, that the reason why I point that out, that's the first thing they're all going to do is bull rush him. You know, like you got a guy 6'9", like that's just, he just doesn't have the natural leverage. Like people are going to be able to get underneath him. He's going to have to get them before they get him, basically.
Hands
He's
first.
He's going to have to close the distance, get his hands on them. He can't let guys get, you know, speed to power and get underneath his chin. Because, I mean, he just, that's a leverage thing right there. I mean, the same benefit he has from being long and long legs, there's pros and cons to everything. That's the negative of being that big. Your last guy, I did one of his games this past year. Really liked him on tape. Talese Fuaga from Oregon State.
You did the San Jose State game. I remember that game. It was a fun game to watch you do that. I'd be watching, Ross. now, here's the thing. We talk about, you know, long-arm defenders, and long-arm defenders can have an opportunity to set the edge on him, and that's not what you want. You know, so he's going to have to be better at his hands in terms of combating that. But he got great movement skills, very good athlete. He does show the right amount of patience in pass pro. Like, he'll ride the wave a little bit, and then he'll be patient with his punch and get it out there. Because some guys get so eager to get out there that they overextend. Guys whip him up right quick and get past him. But not him. He shows a good combination of both aggressiveness and patience. He's strong. 6'5", 324. So, for me, on tape, again, between him, Alt, and Fotanu, I'm taking any one of these three guys in the draft. One of these three will start the run on all offensive tackles because it's a very good class.
All right, so there's a bunch of other guys, Emery, that are considered first-round caliber players. I wanted to get your opinion on the Penn State young man, who a lot of people thought would have been a top 10 pick last year, but he came back. I'm talking, of course, about Olu Fashanu for Penn State. Some people think his video was better the year before than it was this year. What did you see from Olu?
He's got the same grade as Fuaga, and he's my number four tackle. So I'm big on Fashanu as well. And I feel like the area of improvement for him, he still has room to get stronger. I feel like he plays a lot at the point of attack. He doesn't really get a lot of movement. So he can get stronger, a little bit technical, to where he can start moving guys up out the way. But he has great length and uses it well. So he's able to take those long arms, get them on a defender quickly, and then extend. Like how we used to work out, I don't know, you guys probably used to do the same workout too. The hammer machines, remember that?
Yep.
And so he's able to lock and then extend and hold a guy right there. And we just want to see him continue to get movement in that regard. So he could reach block really well. Good patience and consistency in pass pro. You want to try to beat him around a corner? Cool. He's just going to wash you to where you want to go. And he can get your hands on you and play well from distance. So I like Fashanu. I think he's another one of these elite talents. Again, whoever gets picked first, the run on tackles will begin.
What about Emery, J.C. Latham from Alabama? 360 pounds. And I don't think point of attack is an issue for him, but I'm guessing you saw some other things that are areas for improvement.
Well, he's my sixth old tackle, you know, right behind Amagedji from Yale, but one point behind the top three that I have that we talked about. So good grade on J.C. Latham as well. The areas of improvement, I feel like he has a tendency to duck his head when he's trying to fan out and block and leaves himself to, you know, susceptible to guys swimming across his face and getting pressure. He can't be too aggressive. We just talked about that in his kick slide where guys want to get out there and block right away. And next thing you know, you're in no man's land and you don't have leverage. You don't have the comfort of your guard next to you. You're just really out there on the island and you better be great with your hands in recovery. And I feel like that's where his over-aggressiveness kind of hit him a little bit. But in terms of like what he does well, powerful player, extremely powerful anchor. You're not going to bull rush him. You're not going to walk him back. Once he decides to sit down, rep over, get ready for the next play, because that's how powerful he is. And his down blocks and combo blocks are excellent. And he has above average technique as well for the position.
Any thoughts, Emery, on either Amarius Mims from Georgia or Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, or maybe even Graham Barton from Duke?
Guyton is right behind Latham. So you're really We seeing the same things, Ross, in terms of the guys you naming, they are right in order. But Guyton, to me, mountain of an offensive tackle, 6'7". And he's got really good knee bend for someone. We talked about how height could be a, you know, a detriment as also a strength. Well, for him, he has good knee bend. So that creates a whole new problem for these defensive ends that think they can just really get low and just trying to beat him. No, he's getting good knee bend. He's able to execute a lot of perimeter blocks that you want to see. So I think he has to continue to work his hands inside once he's engaged and kind of keep – you always got to reset and rework to get better leverage with your hands. That's one area where he can get better. And you talked about Amarius Mims. You know, like, he has amazing length. He's 6'7", 340. But he hasn't logged a lot of starts. I feel like every time he starts to get into a groove, he's missing time. He's injured. So you want to see him get out there and play more. So that's why he kind of is a little bit lower on my list. He missed a lot of time during his career and for injury, but we haven't seen a lot of it. Like, we like the combine, and we like the length, and we like the athleticism, and we like his, you know, his Heisman technique that he has. And what I'm talking about Heisman technique, Ross, you know this as an offensive lineman, where you have to get to the second, you have to climb to the second level. So your first step has to be boom. You got to really get that that hand on the your inside defender before you can climb to the next level. Shout out to Coach Chinnis Berry that taught me that at the HBCU Legacy Bowl. And we were watching the drill where he just walked me through what this was about. And he was just marveling at how these guys at Tulane, they were out there practicing before the HBCU guys got out there. He's like, this is the Heisman technique that we teach our guys. And true to form, if you're trying to climb, you better get that hand just like the Heisman pros right away on that inside or outside shoulder of the offensive line or defensive lineman before you make that move. So because he has great length, man, he's able to consistently stab that guy right away to help out his guard and then climb to the next level where he can then execute his block.
So Emory's sleepers include Leandre Andreas from Mars Hill, David Satkowski from Stonehill, Bray Walker, Texas State, Theo Benedict from British Columbia, Patrick Lavoy from Carleton. Highly encourage you guys to get the draft guide to see his grades and reports on all of them. footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. And what I like about the draft guide is these are the only grades he's ever given these players. These are the only grades Emory's ever going to give these players. You know, it's not like it's a lot of movement, Emory. And maybe it's because this is an entertainment business and it's new content. But I do see guys going up and down top 50 rankings, up 4 spots, down 3 spots. And I guess I wonder sometimes, like, it's been a while since they've played a game. What is that based on? And I wrote about this in my column for the 33rd team a couple weeks ago. Like, is it you heard medical information about them? Is it you heard off the field stuff that's bad? Or you heard like they've been crushing the interviews? I guess my thing is that if you're going to include that stuff, isn't that sort of like not the whole picture? Because you're probably not getting that information on everybody. You're just getting that information on certain people. Your thoughts on kind of guys going up and down some of these rankings?
Yeah, and you see some people are also influenced by the pro day and the workout. So when they get those things going, next thing you know, they start talking about, oh, well, this is a guy that's flying up the boards. Like, why? Because he's fast? Well, that's something you should have seen on film, you know? Or if he jumped high, well, you should have seen that explosiveness on film. And to your point about the article, yeah, you're getting a skewed view because you're only getting it on a few players and not everybody. That's why we tend to stick to the tape, because the tape will tell you the tape evaluation. The scouts, and this is the major part of their job, is to get everything around the player. Us in the media can only judge based off tape. So we're not privy to interviews. We're not privy to medical information. We're not privy to psychological tests. We don't talk to a lot of people. We may talk to some, you know, around the program, but not a lot. But that is why they have a different grade than what we may have in the media. So if a guy is moving up or down a draft board, it's not because more tape came out. It's because they just got information from scouting source or whatnot that leaked to them or just shared with them that, hey, this guy may go lower than you expect because of X, Y, and Z, not because someone is just, you know, some fresh tape happened between February and April.
And then what always happens is when they're falling during the draft, then it's like, well, yeah, he's falling because he's got a medical issue. Well, why didn't you tell us that 2 weeks ago when you found out about it?
Right.
Because it was embargoed. You were not allowed to say it until during the draft, and then you could say it. Check him out on social media, at FBallGamePlan on Twitter, FootballGamePlan on YouTube. We are YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL if you want to go back and watch all of these episodes with Emory. We got D-line, linebackers, DBs the next few weeks. The keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for tuning in to College Draft. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and Fantasy Feast, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.